الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. يسر إخوانكم في موقع دار الحديث بالشحر أن يقدموا لكم هذه المادة لفضيلة الشيخ أبي عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن عمر بن مرعي بن بريك حفظه الله تعالى. والآن مع المادة.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، مر معنا في الدرس الماضي وهو ما يتعلق بالدرس الثالث الكلام على الركن الأول من أركان الإيمان، وهو الإيمان بالله سبحانه وتعالى. واليوم نأخذ إن شاء الله ما يتيسر من بقية أركان الإيمان. قال رحمه الله تعالى: أركان الإيمان، وهي أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته. الركن الثاني من أركان الإيمان الإيمان بالملائكة، والملائكة خلق من خلق الله، خلقهم الله عز وجل من نور، وهم عالم غيبي لا نعرف كيفيته، وهو من الغيب الذي لا يدركه الإنسان ولا يمكنه الإحاطة به. ولكننا نؤمن بما جاء من أوصافهم وأخبارهم في نص الكتاب والسنة وما تواتر عن سلف الأمة، ومن ذلك أنهم خلق من خلق الله، عابدون لله جل وعلا، لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. خلقهم الله من نور، وخلقهم على خلقة يكونون فيها في غاية الانقياد التام لأمره والقوة على تنفيذه، وهم مع ذلك ليس لهم من خصائص الربوبية والألوهية شيء. وهم خلق من خلق الله لا يوصفون بأنوثة، كما نفى الله عز وجل عنهم ذلك في مواضع كثيرة من كتابه. وهم كذلك عدد كثير لا يحصيهم إلا الله تعالى، وكل هذا نؤمن به كما جاءت الأخبار الصحيحة به. ولا نعلم عن كيفيته وحقيقته لأنه من الغيب الذي لا يدرك إلا بالوحي. فما علمنا أثبتنا مما جاء في الكتاب والسنة، وما لم نعلمه توقفنا فيه لعدم علمنا به. فنؤمن بوجودهم أولا، ونؤمن كذلك بما علمنا من صفاتهم جملة وتفصيلا. فإن من أوصافهم كما سبق أن علمنا أنهم لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون، ومن ذلك أنهم يلهمون التسبيح ويوفقون له، كما قال الله عز وجل: وترى الملائكة حافين من حول العرش يسبحون بحمد ربهم، وقضي بينهم بالحق وقيل الحمد لله رب العالمين. وهكذا كذلك من صفاتهم أن منهم من يدخل إلى البيت المعمور بأعداد كبيرة، كما أخبر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: يدخلون ولا يرجعون. يعبدون الله عز وجل ويسبحونه ويكبرونه جل وعلا. ومنهم الموكل بأعمال، فهناك ملك للجبال وملك للسحاب وملك بنفخ الأرواح وقبضها، وهكذا ملك أو ملائكة للجنة وملائكة للنار وغير ذلك مما علمناه، مما دلت عليه أدلة الكتاب والسنة. فمنهم من يكتب الأعمال، ومنهم من كذلك يحفظ العباد، وما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد. ملائكة كاتبين يكتبون ما يأمرهم الله عز وجل بكتابته، وملائكة آخرين حفظة يحفظون الناس من بين أيديهم وخلفهم، أي من المؤمنين، وملائكة تنصر المؤمنين وتدفع عنهم: إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا. وهكذا يجاهدون مع المؤمنين، كما أخبر الله عز وجل أنه أمد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن معه بألف من الملائكة مردفين. ومنهم الموكل بالوحي كجبريل عليه الصلاة والسلام وغير ذلك مما علمناه في الكتاب والسنة نؤمن به جملة وتفصيلا. وهكذا من الإيمان بالملائكة الإيمان بما علمنا من أوصافهم في خلقتهم وأن منهم من يتكيف كجبريل عليه الصلاة والسلام، له أكثر من 600 جناح يملأ ما بين المشرق والمغرب أو يملأ الأفق، ومع ذلك جاء إلى النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بصورة رجل، فكان أحيانا يأتي كرجل لا يعرفه أحد، كما جاء في حديث عمر وأبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه حين أتى يعلمهم أمور دينهم، وهكذا كذلك أحيانا يأتي بصورة من يعرفه الناس كدحية الكلبي. فالله عز وجل أقدرهم على ذلك، وهو على كل شيء قدير، فنؤمن بذلك كله. وهكذا نؤمن بما علمنا من أعمالهم، خزنة الجنة وخزنة النار وملك الجبال وغير ذلك ممن يكتب الأعمال أو ينفخ الروح أو يقبض الأرواح أو من يأتي إلى القبر فيسأل أو غير ذلك مما علمنا، نؤمن به وأنهم يفعلون ما يأمرهم الله عز وجل به. وهكذا من الإيمان بالملائكة الإيمان بمن علمنا من أسمائهم، ممن علمنا اسمه كجبريل عليه الصلاة والسلام ومالك وغير ذلك مما ثبت الدليل الصحيح من الكتاب أو من السنة في ثبوت اسمه، وما لم يثبت فإننا لا نثبته، كعزرائيل ملك الموت فإنه لم يثبت في شيء صحيح أن ملك الموت اسمه عزرائيل. وهكذا هذا يدلنا على غيره من الكثير الذي دلت عليه أدلة الكتاب والسنة، ومما وقع في زمن الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنهم أشياء كثيرة مما يتعلق بتفاصيل الإيمان بالملائكة، نؤمن به كما جاء. وينبغي أن نعلم هنا شيئين اثنين: الأمر الأول أن المؤمن ينبغي عليه أن يؤمن ويسلم بكل ما أخبر الله عز وجل به في كتابه أو رسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام في سنته، ومن ذلك الإيمان بالملائكة وسائر ما يتعلق بالإيمان به كما سمعنا جملة وتفصيلا، فإن هذا من تمام التسليم لشرع الله. والأمر الثاني أن نؤمن أن العقل لا يمكنه إدراك كل شيء، فهو يعجز عن إدراك المحسوس الذي في عالمه عالم الشهادة، فكيف بعالم الغيب؟ فكيف بعالم الغيب؟ ونقول هذا لأنه قد دخل على بعض الناس بسبب بعض الكافرين ومن تبعهم من ضعفة المسلمين من العقلانيين، من يريد أن يجمع بين الإيمان والإسلام مع نفي أشياء مما يتعلق بالدين عموما وبالإيمان بالملائكة خصوصا، زعما أن هذا يخالف العقل. ها؟ بين الإيمان بالإسلام والإيمان وبين نفي ما ينافيه فيما زعموا مما يعارض العقل في مسائل تتعلق بالدين عموما وبالملائكة على وجه الخصوص، وزعموا أن هذا يخالف العقل. وهذا أصل فاسد، لأن ليس كل ما نفاه العقل فهو منفي، فالعقل قد يحيل أشياء، فإذا جربها وشاهدها أثبتها. فالعقل في زمن ما كان يحيل أن يطير الإنسان في السماء، ولو أحد قال ذلك في زمن متقدم لصار ماذا؟ مجنون، وأنه إنسان غير واقعي. لكن اليوم صار العقل يثبت مثل هذا. ما هو السبب؟ العقل هو العقل الذي هو اليوم والذي هو بالأمس. السبب أنه رأى شيئا فلم يجد بدا إلا أن يؤمن به بالمشاهدة والحس، وهكذا كذلك ما يحيله العقل مما هو من الأمور الغيبية هو في الحقيقة قصور في تلك العقول، وإلا فعقول المؤمنين الكاملين في الإيمان لا يترددون في الإيمان بكل ما ثبت في الكتاب وصحيح السنة، ويعلمون أن العقل ليس هو المعيار في إثبات الحقائق، لأن العقل يتبع في عالم الشهادة الحس والتجربة، فكيف بالغيب مما أخبر الله عز وجل به وهو أصدق حديثا وأصدق قيلا سبحانه وتعالى، وأخبر به الصادق المصدوق عليه الصلاة والسلام الذي لا ينطق عن الهوى. وأضرب مثالا لذلك، ثبت في صحيح البخاري وغيره أن ملك الموت كان فيما سبق يأتي إلى الناس بصورته، وأنه أتى إلى موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام في قصة. المهم وأن موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام ضرب عين ملك الموت فالشاهد أن هذه القصة ثابتة في الصحيح، وأهل السنة والجماعة يؤمنون بما جاء في هذا الحديث ويعلمون أن هذا حق وصدق، وأما كيفيته على التفصيل ربما هو ليس بمقدورهم إدراكه، لكن يؤمنون بأن هذا حق وصدق كما دلت عليه الأدلة الصحيحة، فلا يجدون في ذلك حرج. لكن بعض العقلانيين وللأسف ذهبوا يطعنون في الحديث ويردون السنة بحجة أن هذا يخالف العقل، وهكذا أشياء أخرى كثيرة. فقد جاء في صحيح البخاري عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن الله عز وجل أرسل ملك الموت إلى موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام، فلما جاءه صكه فرجع إلى ربه فقال أرسلتني لعبد لا يريد الموت، فرد الله عليه عينه أي عين ملك الموت وقال ارجع فقل له يضع يده على متن ثور فله بكل ما غطت به يده بكل شعرة سنة. قال أي رب ثم ماذا؟ قال ثم الموت. قال فقال موسى فالآن يعني يموت، فسأل الله أن يدنيه من الأرض المقدسة رمية بحجر. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلو كنت ثم أي هناك لأريتكم قبره إلى جانب الطريق عند الكثيب الأحمر، والحديث في الصحيحين من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه. فهذا الحديث نؤمن به وبما جاء من تفصيل فيه، ونعلم أنه حق ما دام قد صح الحديث عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. لكن بعض العقلانيين كالغزالي مثلا ينفي مثل هذا الحديث ويحاول يحرفه أو يضعفه بغير حجة، وهذا المسلك غير صحيح، والواجب هو تمام التسليم بذلك. فإن ملك الموت خلق من خلق الله، وهو رسول من رسل الله أرسله الله، كما أن الأنبياء خلق من خلق الله ورسل أرسلهم الله. وقد وقع بما شاء الله وأراد أن يبتلى بعض الأنبياء بتسلط بعض الكافرين عليهم، فكم قتل من نبي وهم أنبياء، ولله حكمة في ذلك. فالمهم المسلم ينبغي أن يكون عنده تمام التسليم لكل ما جاء، فما فقهه وفهمه آمن به، وما لم سأل أهل العلم، وإلا فيقول آمنت بالله على مراد الله وبما جاء عن الله كما أراد الله سبحانه وتعالى. نعم نكتفي بهذا، وإن شاء الله يترجم أخونا أبو حذيفة حفظه الله تعالى.
شيخ أبو عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن عمر العدني حفظه الله تعالى started this lesson saying بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah and bearing witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone who has no partners and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is a slave and messenger. As for what follows, he mentioned that in the previous lesson we have studied the first rukn, the first pillar of the pillars of Iman, which was the pillar of the faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and everything which is linked to that, or some of what is linked to that. And today inshallah ta'ala we're going to go over to the second pillar, which is the pillar of al-iman bil malaika, the belief and the faith into the angels. So Shaykh Abdullah hafizahullah ta'ala started saying first of all that the angels, the malaika, they are a creation from Allah's creation. Allah has created them from light, and they are from Alamul Ghaib, they are from the world of the unseen. We do not know the precise reality of this world, and we are not capable to understand it and to know the details of it. But we believe in what has been mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah as far as the description of the angel is concerned, and the information and the stories which have been related about them. Everything which is correct and authentically reported from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or what has been يعني تواترة, meaning that it spread in numerous reports in the Salaf, يعني from the Salaf of this Ummah, then we believe in that. Like I said, they are a creation from the creation of Allah, and they are worshipping Allah, and they are not disobeying Allah after He ordered them to do something, and they are doing whatever Allah ordered them to do. And Allah created them from light in a way or in a shape that enables them to execute whatever Allah orders them to do. يعني that Allah has given them the ability to do great things in order to execute His orders. But although they have these great abilities and these great powers that Allah has given them, they have in no way any characteristics or specifications from al-rububiyyah, from the lordship, nor from al-uluhiyyah, from having the right to be worshipped. They have nothing from all of that because they are a creation. Then we say that they are not described as being female, because Allah has negated this in many parts of the Quran, that this was from the sayings of the people of Jahiliyyah and the Mushrikeen. Then we believe also that angels are numerous, and that none is able to count them and know their exact amount except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in all of this because this is what has been authentically reported from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Although we might not know the precise reality of what has been mentioned, nor the other details than what has been mentioned, but because this is from ilmul ghaib, from what has been hidden from us, and we are unable to know anything from ilmul ghaib, from the knowledge which is from the unseen, from what has been hidden from us, except through way of revelation. So whatever we know from the book and the sunnah, this is what we affirm and believe into. And what we have not been informed of, then we don't go further, we stop there. We do not pronounce ourselves concerning what we have not been informed upon. So we believe in the fact that the angels exist first of all. Then we believe in the descriptions that have been mentioned authentically in the Quran and the Sunnah, whether they be general descriptions or detailed descriptions concerning some angels in particular, for example.
and we believe in the fact that they do not disobey Allah and that they do whatever Allah asks them to do or orders them to do. And we believe also that Allah inspires them and gives them tawfiq to do at-tasbih, to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, وَتَرَى الْمَلَائِكَةَ حَافِينَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْعَرْشِ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ. يعني you see the angels around the arsh, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ. They are glorifying Allah by praising Him. And we also believe in what has been authentically mentioned, that they enter into Al-Baytul Ma'amur, which is a house which is also from the world of the unseen, and they make tawaf in there, and they enter into this house in great numbers. And every angel who entered into there never comes back to it. And although they are, yani this house is constantly filled and surrounded by a great amount of angels. This shows you that the angels are extremely numerous, and none knows their exact number except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as said, they are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making tasbih and by making takbir. Then we also believe that there are angels which are muwakkal, meaning they are put in charge of different deeds or different actions. Like for example, you have an angel which is in charge of the mountains, another angel which is in charge of the clouds, another angel who is in charge of taking the souls of the people when they die, another angel who is in charge of blowing the soul into the baby while he's in the womb of his mother. And you have angels who are in charge of guarding paradise, and angels who are in charge of guarding the hellfire, and angels who are writing the deeds of the people and who are protecting the believers. Like Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. Verily those who say, our Lord is Allah, then they are firm and they are straight upon this path, then the angels come down upon them. And we also believe in the fact that Allah sends down the angels upon the believer in times of hardship, like in war, He sends them to back up the believers. So all of this was authentically reported in the book, in the Sunnah, and this is why we believe into it. We believe in the general meanings, which are general to all the angels, and into the particular descriptions which have been mentioned concerning some of the angels. And also, we believe, for example, in some, Sheikh mentions to us some of the particular descriptions which are mentioned concerning some angels. For example, we believe in the characteristics of Jibreel. As mentioned, Jibreel has the ability to change his appearance. He is normally huge, and he has 600 wings, and when he's in that shape, his wings fill up the whole horizon. But it has also been authentically reported that Jibreel alayhi salam came to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam looking like a normal human being, a normal man. And it has also been mentioned that once he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam while he was sitting with the Sahaba, and he was looking like a man that nobody knew, like was authentically reported in the hadith, which is called Hadith Jibreel, which has been reported by Abu Huraira and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And we say that Allah has given them the ability to do so, because Allah verily is capable of everything. So He gave the angels the ability to change their appearance in the way He liked them to do so. And we also believe in what they do. Like for example, the angels who are in charge of keeping the hellfire and guarding the hellfire. We believe in all the details that have been authentically reported concerning this. And we also believe into the angels which come to the graves, to the grave of the person when he dies, and they ask him the three questions: who's your Lord, who's your religion, who's your Prophet. And also we believe in the names of the angels, the names that we have known from the Quran and the Sunnah, like for example Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and also Malik, the one who is keeping the hellfire. And other than that, from what has been authentically reported with an authentic dalil from the Quran and the Sunnah. And an example of what is not authentic and that we do not affirm is the fact that the angel of death, the angel which is in charge of taking the souls of the people when they die, is called Israel. This is something which is not authentic, has not been reported authentically, so we do not affirm it. But we do not pronounce ourselves concerning the name of this angel. And we also believe in everything which has been mentioned that happened to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu at that time with the angels. So all of this, we believe it in the way that it has been reported. And Shaykh Abdullah is mentioning for us here two important points. Is the fact that the believer who truly believes, he submits to everything which Allah has informed him about in his book and his messenger in the Sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from this is what we have mentioned, the matter of the angels. And this is from the complete submission to the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you believe in everything which has been mentioned authentically, the way it has been mentioned. Second important point Shaykh Abdullah hafizahullah ta'ala is making is the fact that the aql, the mind of the human being and his reasoning and his power to understand things, is not able to grasp and understand everything. Because verily, if you look at the matters of this dunya from what is apparent to us, then we are forced to admit that there are many things that our minds do not grasp and do not understand. So how is it for the things that have been hidden from us in the first place, the alamul ghaib, the world that Allah has not enabled us to see and hidden, and he has hidden it from us. And Shaykh Abdullah says that we mention this because unfortunately today a number of people have gone astray on this topic, because they have been following some of the kuffar and also some of the weak Muslims who have been affected by the ways of the kuffar, the one we call al-aqlaniyin. We have already spoken about them. They are the people who put forward their aql, meaning their own understanding and the mind and the understanding of the human being. They put this forward on what has been authentically reported in the Quran and the Sunnah. So they are trying to gather the belief in Allah and the belief in Islam, and at the same time they want to negate from it what they do not understand it, because they claim that this contradicts their aql, and they say that it contradicts aql in general, so they claim. So they try and do this in matters of the religion in general and concerning the matter of the angels in particular. And this is because of a rotten principle they have. And they say that everything that the aql, the mind, negates or can't understand, then this is something which is not on its reality, meaning it's not clear, yani it's not the way it has been mentioned. We have to understand it differently, so they say. But Shaykh Abdullah is explaining to us why this is a wrong understanding and a wrong principle, and that we should not base ourselves on this. Shaykh Abdullah gives us a very simple example. If you think back in time, you see that the mind, the aql of the human being, would have said that it's impossible for a human being to fly in the sky. And if a person would have said that a human being was able to fly in the sky a few years ago, then people would have said that he is crazy, and that he is contradicting al-aql. But nowadays, the aql, the mind of the human being, has been forced to submit to this. Why? Because he has seen it, and he has tested it, and experienced it by himself. How is this? The aql is still the same aql. Human beings, they are the same through the centuries, you know, nothing happened. Why is this change all of a sudden? It's because the aql has seen something new, something he didn't know before, so he had no choice but to submit to it. And the fact is that the believer who has strong faith and correct faith, he has absolutely no problem in affirming whatever Allah has affirmed in his book and in the sunnah, because he trusts his Lord. And they know that the aql is unable to understand everything and to make the difference between right and wrong for everything. So because they know that the aql only follows what appears to him from the matters of this world, and with this the aql can still make mistakes. So the aql is just based upon what is witnessed and what has been experienced. So how can the aql enter into the matters of the unseen that Allah has hidden from us in the first place? But rather the believer, he trusts in his Lord and he believes in what his Lord has informed him of. And Allah, like Shaykh Abdullah says, is أَصْدَقُ قِيلًا, the one who is the most truthful in speech, وَأَحْسَنُ حَدِيثًا, the one who is the best in hadith, يعني in sayings. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, لَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى, he does not speak of his own desires, but it is revelation which is revealed to him. Then Shaykh Abdullah hafizahullah ta'ala gives us an example of what those people have said. It has been authentically reported in Sahih al-Bukhari that the angel of death, Malakul Maut, used to come to people to take their souls on in his original form, on his original shape. So he came to Musa, and it's quite a long story, but we just mention the point that we're trying to make here. He came to Musa, and Musa punched Malakul Maut, and so what happened, يعني, the fact is that this story is authentic. It has been authentically reported in Sahih al-Bukhari, and the people of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they believe into this like they believe in everything else which has been authentically reported in the Quran and the Sunnah. And they know that this is the truth, and that is that the Prophet ﷺ was truthful in saying this. And maybe they do not understand the exact details of this story and why and so on and so forth, but they know that this is the truth, so they affirm it in the way it was reported. And they understand that they are not able to understand more than what has been reported through the revelation. And they do not find any problem within themselves or in their hearts in affirming this. But some of the aqlaniyin, they have started criticizing this hadith, and they have started to try and reject the sunnah. Why? Because they claim that this is contradicting the aql. Then Shaykh Abdullah hafizahullah ta'ala read out for us one of the versions of this hadith, which has been reported from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said that Malakul Maut was sent to Musa alayhim as-salam, and when he came to him, he punched him. So Malakul Maut went back to his Lord, and he said to him, "You have sent me to one of your worshippers who does not want to die." So what's understood is that when Musa punched Malakul Maut, he punched out his eye. So Allah gave back to Malakul Maut his eye, and he said to him, go back to him and then tell him that he should put his hand on the skin of a Taurus, and for every hair that is covered by his hand, I will give him 1 year of lifetime. So he said, "Oh my Lord, and then what?" And then so Allah replied, saying, "And after that, death." Then he said, "Then let me die now. There is no point. There's no point in going further." And so Musa asked Allah to make him come closer to Al-Ardul Muqaddasa, to the to the land which is muqaddas, to the holy land, to the distance of throwing a stone. Yani that he throws a stone as far as he can, and he will be brought that closer to the holy land. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and if I was there now, then I would have showed you the grave of Musa next to the way, next to a place called Al-Katib Al-Ahmar. So Shaykh Abdullah says that this hadith, we believe into it, and we believe in every detail that was reported into this hadith, because it was it is authentic, and we believe that this is the truth. And unfortunately, we see that the Aqlaniyin, like for example a man called Muhammad Al-Ghazali, they negate this hadith. And this man Al-Ghazali, he tries to criticize this hadith and to make it da'if by completely incorrect ways, and this is all not correct. This is not the way that the believer has to take concerning these matters. Because Malakul Maut is from amongst the creations of Allah, and so he is subjected to whatever Allah has decreed. If Allah has decreed things to happen this way, then things happen this way. And Shaykh Abdullah mentioned for us that Allah makes things happen for wisdom. Although we might not understand this wisdom, we know that this is for a wisdom, and we believe into this. Like for example, Shaykh Abdullah mentioned that many of the prophets, they were killed by the kuffar in the previous communities. And we know that this happened by the permission of Allah, and this happened by the decree of Allah, and this is for hikmah, for wisdom. And the Muslim believes into this, and he knows that there is nothing wrong with that, because it is from the hikmah of Allah that this happened this way.
ومن الإيمان بالله الإيمان بالكتب أو من الإيمان بأركان الإيمان الإيمان بالكتب كذلك أن نؤمن بها إيمانا مجملا وإيمانا مفصلا. فنؤمن بالكتب التي أنزلها الله عز وجل على رسله فما علمنا منه مفصلا آمن به مفصلا وما لم نعلمه آمن به إيمانا مجملا كما قلنا معناه في حق الإيمان بالملائكة. ومن الإيمان بالكتب الإيمان أولا بأن نزولها من عند الله حقا نزلت من عند الله عز وجل ومن الإيمان بالكتب كذلك الإيمان بما علمنا من أسمائها كالتوراة والإنجيل والزبور والقرآن وصحف إبراهيم وموسى. ونؤمن بأن القرآن هو المهيمن على هذه الكتب والناسخ لها. المهيمن يعني الذي إليه المرجع. فنؤمن بكل ما أخبرت هذه الكتب أنه حق وصدق، وأن تلك الكتب ما قبل القرآن لحقها التحريف بالزيادة والنقص فلم تبقى كما أنزلها الله، كما أخبرنا الله عز وجل في كتابه في آيات كثيرة أي في القرآن. بأنهم كانوا يحرفون الكلم عن مواضعه أي أهل الكتاب، ولذلك فإن الله عز وجل نسخ تلك الرسالات برسالة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وتلك الكتب بهذا الكتاب العظيم وهو القرآن الكريم. فنؤمن أنه أي القرآن كلام الله وليس بكلام أحد من البشر ولا من الخلق، لا جبريل ولا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهو تنزيل من رب العالمين بلسان عربي مبين على نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام، نزل به جبريل من عند الله إلى نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام. وهو ناسخ لما قبله من الكتب كما سبق، فالواجب الإيمان بما جاء فيه والعمل بمقتضاه بامتثال أمره واجتناب نهيه والوقوف عند حدوده. وأنه مهيمن على الكتب وشاهد عليها كما أخبر الله عز وجل عن هذا القرآن العظيم. وهكذا كذلك العمل بما علمنا من الإيمان بالكتب، العمل بما علمنا من الوجوب العمل به، كما قال تعالى: وأنزلنا إليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه من الكتاب. فكل ما جاء مما في التوراة والإنجيل والزبور وصحف إبراهيم وموسى وأراده الله عز وجل فقد ذكر في القرآن. فالقرآن جامع لكل ما في الكتب السابقة شاهدا عليها ومهيمنا عليها. وأنزلنا إليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه من الكتاب ومهيمنا عليه. ولهذا كان القرآن ناسخ لما قبله من الكتب. وكما نرى أن الإيمان بالكتب مرتبط بالإيمان بالملائكة، وهكذا أركان الإيمان مرتبط بعضها ببعض، والإيمان بالملائكة والكتب مرتبط بالإيمان بالله، فإن كل ركن يستلزم الركن الآخر. الإيمان بالله يقتضي الإيمان بملائكته وكتبه، والإيمان بالملائكة يقتضي الإيمان بالله وبالكتب، وهكذا نقول في الكتب. والإيمان بالكتب وبالقرآن العظيم على وجه الخصوص يدلنا على حكمة الله عز وجل ورحمته بخلقه جل وعلا، إذ أنزل لكل قوم كتابا يهديهم، فإن الله عز وجل من حكمته أن أنزل من شرعه ودينه على لسان رسله أو ما كان في كتبه ما يصلح به أحوال الخلق، كما قال سبحانه: فإما يأتينكم مني هدى فمن تبع هدايا فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. وقال في الآية الأخرى فإما يأتينكم مني هدى فمن اتبع هدايا فلا يضل ولا يشقى. وهكذا قال الله عز وجل عن نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام الذي ختم الله برسالته الرسالات وبالكتاب الذي أنزله إليه الكتب وبالدين الذي بعث به الأديان، هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. فالحمد لله على ما أنعم سبحانه وتعالى، وبه نعلم حكمة الله عز وجل في تشريعه لما شرع من دينه لكل أمة بما يناسب أحوالهم وأزمانهم، كما قال الله عز وجل لكل جعلنا منكم شرعة ومنهاجا. فكان من حكمة الله لكل جعلنا منكم شرعة ومنهاجا فكان من حكمة الله أن ختم بهذا الدين الذي جعله سبحانه إلى قيام الساعة، وهو يصلح به أو تصلح به أحوال الناس إلى قيام الساعة. وهذا كذلك يوجب علينا شكر نعمة الله في ذلك، فنحن نرى عناية الله عز وجل بخلقه ورحمته وتفضله بهم. وهذا يدلنا كذلك إلى الإيمان بالرسل، وهذا الذي سيأتي الكلام عليه إن شاء الله في الدرس اللاحق، وبهذا القدر نكتفي، والله تعالى أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم، وجزاكم الله خيرا.
Then Sheikh Abdullah حفظه الله تعالى went on saying I went over to the next pillar of the pillars of Iman, which is Al-Iman bi kutubihi, the belief in the books that Allah has sent down. So Shaykh Abdullah Hafizahullah Ta'ala said, like he said before, we believe in the books that Allah has sent down, general, yani ijmalan, with the general description, and tafsilan, and the details that we have known from maybe some particular books. So we believe that those books are first of all haqq, that they are true, and that they were sent down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unto His messengers. Rashid, can you hear me? Rashid? Rashid? Ay, na'am. Inshallah, you can hear me. I can just hear you very rarely. Al-Muhim. So we believe that Allah has sent down those books upon His messengers, and whatever we have known from those books, tafsilan, meaning with details, then we believe in those details. And what we have not known as far as details is concerned, then we believe in the general meanings that have been revealed concerning these books. And we also believe in the names of those books from that what we have known. Like for example, we believe in the Torah and in the Injil, what we call in English the Bible, or the Evangelists, although there is things to say about that. But in Arabic we say Al-Injil, we believe into this name. and we believe into Az-Zabur, and we believe into the Quran, of course, and the Suhuf that have been given to Ibrahim and Musa. All of this we believe into, and we affirm those names to those books. And we believe that the Quran is Muhaymin. Muhaymin in Arabic meaning that he is the one who has predominance over the other books. And he is, like we say in Arabic, Nasikh, meaning that he's abrogating the other books. So we believe in everything that the books have reported, and we believe that this is the truth. And we must be aware though of the fact that the books which came before the Quran, they have been now there is tahrif which has been made, meaning that they have been changed by the human beings after their revelation. Like Allah has mentioned this in many ayat of the Quran, where He described the people of the book by saying يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَنْ مَوَاضِعِهِ, يعني that they change the word, يعني they make tahrif of the word by changing the meaning or other than that, and they يعني put it in the wrong place, man, and they give a wrong understanding of it, or and so on and so forth. So Allah has abrogated all the previous books by Al-Qur'an. And the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. It's not the speech of any human being, nor the speech of Jibreel. But Jibreel has reported the Qur'an to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all the creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has revealed this Qur'an in يعني بلسان عربي مبين, in a very clear Arabic language. And Jibreel brought this speech down upon the slave of Allah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as said, it is abrogating whatever came before it. So it is obligatory for us to declare truthful whatever is in the Quran, and to abide by the commands of the Quran, and to keep away from what the Quran has prohibited, and to stop at what the Quran has limited for us. So this is from believing in all of this is from the action of the believer, and this is from what is obligatory upon the believer. And the Quran declared truthful the books that came before him, like the books that we have mentioned, the Injil and the Zabur, and other than that, like Allah said in the Quran, وَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. We have sent down the book upon you بالحق, يعني in truth or truthfully, مصدقا لما بين يدي, declaring truthful what has come before it. So we believe in the books that have come before the Quran, but we are aware that the Quran is abrogating them, and that the Quran is the ruling that we have to follow until the end of times. So by all of this, by what has been mentioned, you understand the link, the very close link that there is between the belief in the books of Allah and the belief of the angels. You see that they are not separable. That the one who believes into this, this implies that he believes into that. And both the belief in the books and the belief into the angels are linked to the belief into Allah. All this is inseparable. And the belief into the books of Allah and in the Quran in particular, this shows us the hikmah of Allah, the wisdom of Allah, and His rahmah, His mercy for the creation. Because in these books, Allah has sent down the rulings that bring guidance to the human beings in their affairs, and teach them what they need to know and what they need to follow to improve their own situation in their life in this dunya. And this is why Allah said in the Quran, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُم مِّنِّي هُدَى فَمَن تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. So there will be a guidance, verily there will be a guidance that will come to you from me. So whoever follows this guidance, then he will not go astray, and he will not be afflicted. And this shows us the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He legislated for His creation, for every people, what was appropriate for them in accordance to their time, in accordance to their situation, as to improve the situation and give them guidance in the matters of this dunya. And this is why Allah said, وَلِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. To each people of you, we have given shir'atan, a legislation, وَمِنْهَاجًا, a path they should follow. And the Qur'an is the path and the legislation that has to be followed by mankind until the end of times. So, as said, this is from the wisdom of Allah. The fact that He sends down this guidance upon the people of the earth until the end of times by teaching them what is appropriate for them and what improves their situation in this dunya. So this is from what makes it, yani, this is from the things which make obligatory upon us to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great legislation that He has given us and this guidance that He has sent down and made and clarified for us. And this will lead us to the belief into the messengers. But we shall leave this inshallah ta'ala till the next lesson. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. La ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Barakallahu fikum ikhwan. Nasta'adhinukum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.